stretch out your loving hand. You're the one who leads me home. When I have done all I can do, I pray my life is a joy to you. I will not be near my last steps, because I know when it's a dark and scary road, when I struggle all alone, it's a dark and scary road, when you struggle all alone, when you hear God call your name, you will never be the same. He's the one who lead you home.
More songs for you. And I did not intend to do this morning unless Tim was here, but he's not, but I feel impressed. I don't even know if I can sing or not. It's been so long since I've tried to sing, but you know what? He's brought me through a lot, and I'm thankful to be here this morning and feeling whole again. I tell you, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever. We're going to sing that song one of these days soon, but I want Sunday to sing for you. Safe thus far.
Safe thus far.
I got to tell, did you want to say something? Oh, I thought you was going to testify. I'm going to testify just a second before Sister Betty Nell comes to sing. I just think this is the best story I've ever heard. She's sitting right back there in the back. I'm going to tell this little story. You know, the other day we had Pastor Appreciation Day, and they called me and Teresa up here for a minute. Now, Teresa's always up in the sound booth up there. And so she came up, and we did our little thing, and we went out to eat. And a lady came up to me. This is the truth with my hand up. But a lady came up to me afterwards. She said, "All this time I've been coming to this church, I thought that lady that sings with you was your wife." And that day that little boy brought those handkerchiefs up there, Kleenex up there to her, I thought that was your son. Now, this is the best part of the whole story. She said, "I didn't know you were as old as you are," but unfortunately, now she does know how old I really am. But I'm so thankful that the Lord has brought me to this point, and He will carry me through. One day, something's going to take me out of this old world, but when it does, I'll go to a better place. Come on, Betty Nell, sing for us.
About you, Jesus. It's great to be in the house of God. You know, it's a privilege for me to get up here and be able to preach behind all of this good singing. You know, I've been in places before where, you know, I'd come in, I'd have to lead the singing. Then I'd sing the special. You know, it's not as good as these folks y'all been getting today either, okay? But isn't it great to be in a place you can worship and feel the Spirit of God? Amen? I'm going to add one scripture to what I'm going to read this morning. I'm going to read a verse out of Psalms 139. I'm going to read the 14th through the 18th verse, and then the rest of the scripture that I have. But I want to share something with you this morning. This is just something that's on my heart. And this is one of those times when God gives me a thought. And, you know, I try to sit and I ask him, well, what in the world, Lord, are you going to give me to go with that? And then if I, you know, don't use it quick enough, he gives me more than I know what to do with. He's God and we're not. Our motto here, and this is motto of my life, and I think it needs to be the motto of this church, is it's not about us. It's about him. Before I read, I want to say just a couple of things. I want to say this to the church. Thank you again for your kindness towards me and my family. We had a pastor appreciation thing here last week, and people have continued to show kindness to us, to give us cards and gifts, and I'm so appreciative of that. You know, I am honored to be able to be here. I'm honored to be able to serve with you, and anything that I do here, it's an honor for me, and I mean that. You know, I want to do it for the Lord. And I'll say this. It doesn't matter what you're doing in ministry, what it is. You need to do it for God. And God needs to get honor from it. Sometimes I think people get distracted by their motives and what they're trying to accomplish. And sometimes even what's said about them. But folks, there's nothing about us. It's all about him. I want to also mention we had a youth service here this past Wednesday night. And best I could count, we had 51 teenagers in here. Now, folks, that's a praise. Well, you say, well, I just can't believe it. Some of you remember when it was 2, then 4, then 6. And Brother Allen and I got together, and we've talked about it. I believe that there'll be a day when there'll be 100. You see, I have a vision, and I want you to have a vision. A vision that God is going to do great things in this place. And what I want to share this morning, the thought is this, simply this. I want to talk about a personal relationship with God. And I want to read some scripture and I want to just share some thoughts with you, but I want you to think about it as we go through it and what a personal relationship with God means. But over in the 139th Psalm, I want to read some words. And here's what I want to say to you first this morning. And I want to read this scripture to you to show you, if you are here this morning in this house, you are very, very special. You're a very special guest. If you're a guest here, if you're a member here, you're a very, very special person. If you're here and maybe you don't think you have any worth, I want you to understand, you are very, very special to God. If it weren't for anybody else but just you, Jesus Christ would have still come. Because he loves you individually enough. And that's what I want you to understand as we go through this message this morning. You can't do anything other than come to God for yourself and talk to him. And recognize how much that he loves you. Now I want to read to you what David wrote in the 139th Psalm in the 14th verse. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! And how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. Now, you are very precious to the Lord. You are special because you are His divine creation. I don't care what you've heard in the world or what the world says. The reason that the world today is coming up for theories that'll come up with a way that you got here other than God is they just not willing to bow at His feet. And that's all there is to it. And I want you to see something in this scripture right here. You know, they say that, you know, we don't call little babies now unborn babies if they're still in the mother's womb. They call them a fetus. Well, I want to tell you what the word fetus means. The word fetus is Latin, and it simply means unborn baby. Okay? If you come over here and you look in the 15th verse, he says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret." And then in the 16th verse, he said, "Thine eyes did see my substance." And here's the way I heard a preacher that had really studied this describe this. He said, "That's all my bony fragments." Do you know that from the very foundation of the world, God loved you? And, you know, He already had a plan. And I know that God can see greater than we can. He can see more than we can. And He sees farther than we can. But from your very conception, He loved you. And here this morning, whatever's going on in your life, I want you to know that God loves you, okay? Let's flip over to Philippians chapter number 2. And I want to begin reading in verse 12 and 13. And then I'll try to get into the thought that God has given me. But I want you to understand how important it is to have a personal relationship with a living God. In the 12th verse, Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I want to talk about a personal relationship with God, and I want us to consider a few things this morning. The first one is the prerequisite. You know, for you to have a relationship with God, you got to know God. You know, sometimes I think the problem that people have is they know about God, but they don't know God for themselves. You see, you can be in church your whole life. You can be brought to Sunday school. You can go through the Awana program. You know, I can remember when I was growing up in Sunday school. Y'all remember the Sunday school pens? I had the round one, and then you got the little wreath around it. And then you got this, you know, it was hanging down. I looked like a general coming into Sunday school. You know, by the time I was about 13 years old, you thought I would have been in charge. But you know what that meant? That just meant I was carried to church. It didn't mean I was saved. It didn't mean automatically just because mom and daddy was saved that I was saved. It didn't mean automatically just because I passed off all my sections in my Awana book that everything was right between me and God. You know, the Bible talks about in the Old Testament how sometimes that the punishment that was given to the children would go to the second and the third generation. And in one place it talks about the fathers eating a sour grape and the children's teeth being set on edge. But he said, "I'm going to make a new covenant with them. And every one of them individually, that means you are going to have to come to God for yourself because you cannot come on mom and daddy's coattail. You cannot come based on somebody else. You cannot come based on good works. I won't tell you how you get it. You got to be saved. You got to be born again. It's the same way it was when they preached during the Reformation. It's the same way it was when my daddy preached it when I was growing up." Some of you remember the revivals that you used to go to. And you know, we have a hard time today staying in church an hour and 15 minutes. Folks, they used to sing an hour and a half before they'd put me up to preach. And if you didn't preach an hour, you wasn't spiritual. I'll try not to be too spiritual this morning, okay? But you know, I'll tell you how you get it. You get it by coming to God for yourself. The prerequisite of a personal relationship with God is you must know Him. You know, one thing that I've done, you know, as a preacher, and I love to preach, I love to teach, I love the Word of God, but we're involved with a lot of aspects of ministry. And sometimes, you know, you're sitting with people and you're trying to give them hope, and everybody wants hope, and everybody can have it, but you've got to come for yourself. You see, you're not going to heaven just because mom and daddy went. You got to know Christ for yourself. You see, you must know Him, and you must be born again. See, you can know about God, but if you've never had a spiritual birth, you cannot have a relationship with God. See, you can know about Him, and you can say, well, I've heard that, and I've heard this, but how do you know for yourself? It's personal. You must have a spiritual birth. Remember in the third chapter of John, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he began to question Him, and Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, well, how can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? He didn't understand. And sometimes when you say this, here's what the world does. It mocks us. And I just go ahead and tell you, I'm one of those fundamental, Bible-believing, old-fashioned Christians. I just believe the Bible.
Amen.
And I understand what a new birth is because I can tell you about the time that I got saved. And I want to get into some other things in a minute about a personal relationship with God. But, you know, sometimes when people get saved, they pray a prayer. Sometimes it's a repeat after me prayer. You know, sometimes whether it be Bible school or even sitting in here and praise God. I want to tell you, last week we had a little boy right before Awana during choir practice. God was dealing with him, and I got to pray with him, and he got saved right back here on the back bench. Now he was just a little fella. You know, 7, 8 years old. It seems like the older I get, the younger they are. Now I say 25, well, they're just kids. No offense. No offense. You understand what I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Tom?
I
sat there with that little boy, and I began to talk to him, and he told me how old he was, and I said, I can remember when my boys got saved. We were at Awana, we were coming home, and you know, if you've been saved, number one, and you have any type of discernment at all, you're going to know when God is dealing with your children. You're going to know it. And I looked over, we were driving down the road, and Matthew was sitting over beside me, still in the car seat. And he had his head down, and I said, son, you okay? And he's just, I said, God's talking to you, isn't he, son? And he said, yes. You see, you can't pour the Word of God on them the way it's poured on them around here, the way it's poured on them in the Awana program, the way it's poured on them in Bible school, and then be in front of it if you're trying to do the right thing and not God not deal with them. And we went home and we got down by the bed, and I wanted to make sure that it was right, just like last week when I prayed with that little boy. You know what you can do with a kid? You can get a conviction out of them. You can get a confession out of them, but we're not keeping score. We're trying to introduce people to Jesus.
Amen.
And I begin to ask him questions to see what he knew and see what he thought and ask him what he thought. And, this little boy didn't know me. I said, do you want to pray with your mother? Do you want to pray with your Awana teacher? Do you want to pray with your Sunday school teacher? And he said, all he did was pointed at me like that. And I said, well, I'll pray with you. And I prayed with him and I asked him some questions. And you say, well, they're so young. Well, let me tell you something. You keep telling them. You keep introducing them. And if you need to pray with them every week, pray with them every week until they get something that they're sure sticks. But I'll tell you this much. When they get born again by the grace of God, they are never, ever the same.
Amen.
And I'll tell you why. Because God's in them now. You see, it talks about over in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, he's quickened us. That means made alive spiritually. You see, a prerequisite, it's very important to understand about a personal relationship with God, is you cannot have a personal relationship with God if you don't know him for yourself. If you've never been born again, all you can know is about him. You can talk about him, you can talk at him, but you cannot commune with him. Because until you come and pray a prayer asking for forgiveness and accepting Him as your Savior, then He's not your Savior. He's just a God, and I say a God, because what happens when you don't know Him personally, when you've never been born again, is the truth is you can take Him or you can leave Him. You see, it is personal, and it is between you and Him, and in my case, it's between Him and me. Now, I want you to think about that, and I want you to consider some things about a personal relationship with God. You see, I believe there is some evidence that goes along with a personal relationship with God. And this is just what I see based on the Word of God, and this is what I see based on personal experience, and this is what I've seen in my lifetime based on knowing people who know Him. See, if you're saved, there's something going to happen inside of you. You accept Jesus Christ and you become born again. You are not going to be able to live the same way and do the same things you used to do and feel okay about it. Now, folks, I want you to understand that this does not mean that you cannot sin, because you can. And it doesn't mean that you cannot or will not sin, because, you know, the truth is you probably will. That's why Paul said, I die daily. But it does mean, and I believe this with all my heart, have you ever seen somebody that they just say that they're saved and they get off in something and they live it and they live it and they live it and it looks like nothing ever happens to them? They're enjoying it. I want to tell you something. That's evidence they may not know God. You say, well, where do you get that from? That lives inside of us, it's born of the Spirit of God. That means that if you're saved, everywhere you go and everything you do, you're taking Him there and you're doing those things in His presence. You see? Why can I not do the same things and feel okay about it? Because I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You know, I remember when I got saved, I was 12 years old. And I can remember this. Now, this, I'm not proud of this. It's just the way that it is. I remember being there, and we were in a revival, and some of you might remember a preacher whose name was Earl Partain. Earl Partain used to preach revivals down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church. He was preaching a revival for my dad, and I was sitting right where you're at, Miss Becky. And Earl Partain, he was a strong-minded preacher. And I remember when he was preaching, it's almost like somebody took a glass of water and splashed me with it. I woke up. And here's what happened. The Holy Spirit of God said simply, this is what God said: He's talking to you. And I said, me? See, my daddy was a preacher. I come to church. Remember, I've got him. Yeah. 12 years. He's talking to you. And I realized that I was lost. And I went down to the altar and I accepted Christ. I didn't know everything there was to know. But I did know that God was speaking to me. I accepted the Lord, and, you know, I went outside the church. I got out there in the churchyard. Wasn't but just a few minutes, I was in a fight with my sister. Y'all thought I was going to tell y'all something spiritual. I was in a fight with my sister, and one of the guys, deacon in the church, come out there, and he pointed and he did this, like, you ain't God. It didn't make me the Apostle Paul overnight. But I wasn't the same. Never was the same. And as I grew up, it's like, you know, I felt God speaking to me. I can remember as a teenager, and you know how it is, you know, when you're a teenager, some of them, we got some here. Some of y'all remember this now. You know, I like to get in the car and just say, all right, I'm going to let y'all drive. I'm going to close my eyes. Whatever happens, happens. But you remember when you were 16 years old, you wanted to get in that car and you wanted to go. That's the way I was. I wanted to go. And I can remember one night I was about 16 years old and I went into this game room and I was there. And, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of bad stuff going on. But that same voice, that one that said he's talking to you, said this: would you want me to come back right now and find you here? I knew that voice. And I was young, I hadn't been saved but a few years, but I knew that voice. And I can tell you other times in my life when that voice spoke to me, and I can tell you why if you're saved by the grace of God, you're not the same. You can't do the things that you used to do and feel okay about it, because you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and God has a plan for your life, and that speaking of the Holy Spirit is evidence that you have a personal relationship with a living God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you. In John chapter 14, I want to give you just a couple of verses, the 16th to the 18th verse. Jesus, he spoke to him and he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And he shall be with you. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Then you go down to the 26th verse. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. And I'll tell you what it's like. It's like everywhere you go, somebody's watching you. Everywhere you go, doesn't the Bible say that the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good? So there's evidence. Well, what's another point of evidence? I can't just live anyway because he lives in me, and if he doesn't convict me of my sins, I don't know him. What about chastening? The Bible plainly teaches that he chastens those he loves. In Proverbs 13 and 24, it gives us a picture of this. It says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him early, or betimes, early. If you love him. Hebrews 12:6 says this, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And you say, well, I don't much care for that. I wish you didn't love me quite as much. Well, not really. What would happen to us, and I look at myself, what would happen to me if God just left me to me? You know, there are times, and this is kind of like this, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got a rebellious son or daughter, and if they're strong-willed and they're stubborn, and you deal with them, and you deal with them, and you deal with them, sometimes what can happen is you just get wore down. You just get tired of dealing with it. And it gets to the point, it's like having that strong-willed child that you have to force yourself to do what you're supposed to do because you refuse to allow them to go on and hurt themselves. Do you know if the Lord were to let me alone, I don't know where I'd be. But I can tell you something, I know that I'm his because when I get out of line, I feel it. You know, how does God chasten us? Sometimes it simply is through the movement of his Spirit. You know, I hear people say this and I talk about it. You know what's very, very important to me in my life is the peace of God. I like to be able to come into church like this morning and sit and enjoy it. But have you ever come in and just cold? Everybody, you look around, everybody else is just worshiping and praising God, but for some reason you're not getting into it. My daddy told me a story one time. He said when he was a young preacher, he said they were in revivals, and I've been in revivals, folks, where you see three people preaching at one time. He said, I'm not sure about that. We need some outpouring of the Holy Spirit today so that people would recognize that God has power and God is God. He said, I was in this revival, and he said they were having testimony service, and God spoke to me and told me to stand up and to speak, and he gave me the words that I was supposed to say, and he said I just wouldn't. This is the way I feel about preachers. If you're supposed to preach, you will. If you can get out of it, you ain't called. He said, I didn't speak. He said, I just sat there. And he said, God, give me another opportunity. In the same service, I just sat there. He said, it wasn't long. He said, it left. He said, but when it left, he said, I turned as cold as ice. He said, I wasn't out in the world sinning. I wasn't doing this or doing that. He said, I went to church for a solid year until the next year I was at that same revival, and that voice of God came back to me and said, stand up and tell them this. He said, then I jumped to my feet. You see, sometimes when we talk about chastening, you know, what we got to realize is if you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have some convictions that will grow because you have a personal relationship with the living God. You see, he does chasten those he loves. We can't just live any way we want. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And number three, we have convictions that grow. Now, here's the thing about a personal relationship with God. Sometimes what people want to do, and they get it in their mind, well, if you're a Christian, you're going to look like me. I hope y'all look better than me, naturally and spiritually, okay? But have you ever known anybody like that? You ever been around somebody like that? I know this lady one time, she was having a thing over at her house, and she had all of her sisters there, and they, some of them, you know, had trouble in their life. Some of them had broken homes, and she stood up in front of them and said this, if y'all would all get y'all's lives right, God would bless y'all the way he'd bless me. I'm going to tell you, as a kid, that scared me. That's right. You see, it's personal. Sometimes what people want to do is they say, well, if you get right with God, you'll dress like me, you'll look like me, you'll listen to my kind of music. You won't even have loud mufflers on your truck. I've had people actually confront me on that. Not here, though. Not here. But I'll tell you what it is when you get convictions. It's between you and God. Now, what is a conviction? A conviction is something that God speaks to you about. Now, folks, there are absolutes. When we read the Word of God, if it says something, that's the Word, okay? A preference, though, and a conviction, sometimes you might have somebody that said, well, I don't see nothing in the world wrong with, and they'll give you something, and somebody else says, well, I just don't think I can do that. Well, don't do it. But you're not their judge. Read Romans chapter number 14 and what it says. But I'll tell you this about convictions, and this is evidence that you are saved. If you're saved, you're going to have some. And if you're saved by the grace of God and you have a personal relationship with God that's being nurtured, I don't care if you live to be 110 years old, those convictions will continue to grow. Because God, what he's going to do is he's going to work on you, and he's going to work on you. It's kind of like that song that we used to sing, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him about a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth, Jupiter, some of the kids' song. How true it is about me. I got to remain teachable because I have not arrived. See, convictions are evidence of a personal relationship with a living God. And what the Holy Spirit's going to do is it's going to teach you, and it's going to mold you, and it's going to work in you until the day that Jesus comes. Doesn't the Scripture say in one place that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Then what about direction? See, our direction, we're taught by the Lord, we're led by the Lord. That's evidence of a personal relationship. And then there are promises. These are promises from the benefits of this personal relationship. Now, you know, we have salvation. He took our place on the cross of Calvary. And, of course, we have what I've heard said is the greatest retirement plan you could possibly have. A retirement plan that's out of this world. A home in heaven with the Lord. But I want to give you just a couple of thoughts, and then we're going to have a song. They're going to come and sing one of my absolute favorite songs in a minute. But understand what this relationship is. It's personal. Personal. I know Him. And if I know the Lord as my Savior, and I know Him, this relationship is between me and Him. 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." Now think about that. Do you know somebody that loves the Lord and you know that they love the Lord? See, if you know Him, I can't help but believe that to know Him is to love Him. And if you have that relationship with Him, if you know Him, it will be known about you. If you know Him, people will know that you know Him. Now, if I know Him, here's something I must believe, that He loves me. Sometimes I think people struggle to even believe this, and it's sad to say, but folks, we're living in a world that is changing. You realize the world's changing so fast? You realize that there is no political candidate that has the answers. What America needs is to return to God. What churches need to do is stay on fire for God. We need to keep preaching the gospel. We need to keep reaching out to the lost. And we need to keep loving and forgiving one another. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now we read all those things, and what did Paul say there in Philippians? He said, "Work out your own salvation," but he didn't stop. He said, "with fear and trembling." You know, we're living in a time today where a lot of preachers, a lot of churches, they don't want to say anything about the fear of the Lord. But I want to give you just a couple of verses. He said, "Work it out with fear and trembling." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And Proverbs 14:27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." And in Proverbs 16:6 it says, "By mercy and truth is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." You see, He is to be respected. And if I'm going to have a personal relationship with Him, the truth is, I have to come on His terms. See, sometimes people want God, but they want to come on their terms. They come and they've got their bargaining chips in their hand. And they say, "Well, Lord, I'll come." But they're really not willing to come God's way. In Deuteronomy 4:24, the Bible says this. It says, "For the Lord our God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." And in Hebrews 12:29, it says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Now, folks, the Bible does say that God is love. We know that God is merciful. We know that God is forgiving because of the way He's forgiven us. But if you're going to make it to heaven, you got to have a personal relationship with God. You can't just know about Him. You can't just say, "Well, you know, I was in church all my life. I was a deacon. I gave. I did this. I did that." You've got to know Him for yourself. And I believe that with all my heart, and this is something that, you know what God wants from you? Just you. God wants you. I want to ask them if they would to come and sing this song, "Saved." I love this song. But you know, the way you come and you accept Christ, I could pray a prayer and you could repeat after me. But you know, the altars of this church are always open. And I still believe that coming down to an altar and showing signs of surrender, and that's all that is, and say, "Lord, would You come into my heart?" Since the Holy Spirit speaks to you, God's already spoke to somebody this morning. and let you know you got to take a step. You know, when it says work out your own salvation, no, God's not called you to be like me. He's not called you to be like anybody else. I heard a man one time, he was talking about how God saved him and brought him out of the atmosphere he was in, the drugs and the bars. And he said he went to these churches and he said, I'd look at people. He said, I wasn't nothing like them. He said they tried, it's almost like Saul trying to dress David. He said, what you're putting on me don't fit. He said God began to speak to him and he told him this, and I want to ask you to rise to your feet. He said, God has not called you to be like somebody else. All God wants you to do is be the very best you that you can be. And he said, I accepted that, and he said, I knew that I was going in the right direction when that peace started flooding my soul. You know how you know you're going in the wrong direction? You don't have that peace this morning. As they sing, please come and pray. We have people who'd love to pray with you this morning.
Shepherd, my shelter from the storm. He is closer than a brother and the rock I lean upon. He is my Abba Father, my confidence, my love. I'm depending on His goodness, lost but for His blood. I see who He is, I realize what I am, and I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far and place me in His hands. My ears had heard the story, but now my eyes have seen His glory, and I can't turn away from His grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved. When I see who He is, I realize what I am, and I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far and place me in His hands. grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
Saved from. I love that song.
I love it.
Love it. Remember the first time they sang it, I had preached. And they come up behind me and sang that, and I was ready to preach again. What are you saved from? Well, I'm saved from hell. I'm not going to hell. Devil, you know, he can aggravate me. He can cause me to have trouble. He's just mad because he knows he can't do nothing about me and my relationship with God. I tell you something else I'm saved from. I'm saved from living a life of vanity that means nothing. 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 53rd verse, right in there, 58th verse. Says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you live for the Lord and you live your life according to His will, your life's not in vain. You know how many people there are today that are absolutely living their life in vain? And I thought about this verse over in, I know it's in Psalms, it's in a couple of different places, but it's worded like this. It says, He saveth such as are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You see, when you get ready to do business with God, you can do business with God. And one thing's for certain, I know, is we're not going to be here forever. I'm going to be with the Lord, and I don't know about you, but if you know anybody that don't know Jesus, folks, it's time to tell them. Because we do not know how much time that we're going to have.